to the 4Jack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the 4Jack Podcast, brought to you by our friends over at Jackson Labs, the brand innovation company that we utilize. Go check them out, jacksonlabs.com. That's J-O-X-O-N. We are also partnered with our sponsors that make it possible for us to do what we do. Therabody, Theragun, everybody knows the percussive recovery tool, TaylorMade Golf, Cricket Shirts out of Austin, and our friends over at Hecho Tequila Soda. Tonight, we have a fun one, another great group, Women's Initiative, sort of disrupting the space, creating that inclusive platform to bring more women into the game, removing that stigma, making it sort of a friendly, fun, engaging opportunity for women to learn about the game of golf, which is very cool. We've had a sort of company on before, and it's great to get into their stories and share more information about that to make it accessible for women. First, we're going to send it around the horn, say hello to the fellas, and then we'll dive into our guests. Tombo, what's going on?
Not too much, bud. Yeah, as you said it in your opening monologue, it's all about growing the game, getting more women involved, and excited to sit down with these two and learn a little bit more about why they got into this, what they're doing, and where they're looking to take it. So I'm excited.
There you go. David, what's up, man?
Gentlemen, I am back in Texas. I was here two, maybe 3 weeks ago. I've officially not bought a house in Wimberley, Texas, but I'm back at Cricket Head Q, and I think I'm falling more and more in love with Austin. So, but get your running Christmas shopping after this podcast and get through this. So
I thought you were running for mayor of Wimberley. Wasn't that the approach last time?
Well, it's a great little quiet town, but the next night, Austin was great, and I just love the city. So,
man, you're like an easy pushover here, I think, for every city you visit. Anyway, we can talk about that another time. We're very, very excited for Jack Family to have the Drive Bunnies on tonight, founded by Bianca and Caitlin. Based out in Ontario, they have created this ultimate platform, this inclusive platform to bring more women to the game. Bianca, Caitlin, welcome to the show. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thank you so much for having us. We're really excited to be on the show today.
Perfect. Fantastic. So we're posted up in Ontario right now, enduring a little bit of that winter weather. Is that kind of what we're looking at?
Yeah, she's a little bit snowy outside.
Where in Ontario are you?
Barrie, Ontario.
Okay. David, give us a little backstory.
I don't really have a home, but Barrie is my new home. My partner, Jen, just got transferred there. So we've been there a couple of years, I guess, but we're officially full-time residents of Barrie, or whatever that means in my life. But yes, I love Barrie. We have a place in Friday Harbor. And so we were here, and now she's taken over, and we're going to be longtime residents. So welcome, neighbors.
Are you guys neighbors? Yeah, I was going to ask the elephant in the room, like, do you guys, how big is Barrie, Ontario? Give us a little context here.
Well, I mean, I'm in Barrie, but Bianca's in Innisfil. So Friday Harbor is actually in Innisfil.
I was going to say, isn't Friday Harbor near me?
Yes, yes, it is. Is it?
Okay. So I welcome you to Innisfil, my friend. That's where I live.
Future mayor of Innisfil.
I don't have the same love for Innisfil as I did Wimberley, Texas, or St. Simons Island, or Austin, Texas, but it's a great little town.
Your little pocket of Simcoe County.
I've learned how to diss on the people of Alcona, but I don't understand the difference, so I don't diss on anyone in that village.
So we're going to offline this. I'll give you a geographic
rundown.
And it's Phil, Simcoe County, little pockets. I'll help you out with that.
Thank you.
This sounds like you're a born and bred in this.
No, neither of us.
Neither of you. Oh no. My god. Wow, okay. She just knows where she's at a little better than David does. Well, he's gallivanting around.
We all love learning about Ontario geography because it's the center of Canada's universe for sure.
There you go.
I can't, and I just gotta say our American listeners are taking over the Ontario listeners. So technically, I don't know what to say. Toronto, you're letting me down. Americans are just growing like day by day in Ontario. Maybe they don't want to be known as the center of the universe, but America, we're coming after you.
Said by an Ontario. How do you say that? I don't know.
How do you say that? Anyway, Ontarian?
Let's move beyond this. Let's learn about what the ladies have been up to and maybe just take us the 40,000 foot overview of Dry Bunnies. What have you guys decided you're going to build? Why did you do it? And what's been going on?
So, started Dry Bunnies back in June of 2019. With fun fact, the idea of starting a caddy company.
Hey.
So
yeah. So really wanted to venture into that area, in that realm. However, just decided that wasn't really for me. Didn't really actually want to do that at all. Seemed like a good idea in theory, in practice, not for me.
Did you actually go through and pilot a couple of caddying event? Did you try the caddying, or was it we left a wedge behind? Don't actually like dealing with the muck always.
I've been to a few events and they were just a little bit risque, not for me. And then I was trying to recruit girls to do it. No one was interested. No one's boyfriends was interested. So I was like, you know what? This is gonna be really difficult for me to do. Cutting this. This is not what we're doing.
Four bags of clubs.
Glad I came to that realization earlier. So yeah, figured that out. Then I was like, you know what? Let's figure out how we can post all of our golf content on an Instagram page for everyone to see, so that my following on my personal page doesn't get super annoyed with what I'm posting.
With golf.
Exactly. Nobody cares about my golf. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. So it started, it actually formed pretty organically. That's Dry Bunny. So we've been around for a few years now, and we've, had several events, women only. We've had mixers and golf clinics, networking events, charitable events. So, we're really trying to tap in to the golf market here and open up this space to more women.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I think that what you guys are doing is absolutely awesome, and no better time than now with the crazy trajectory golf's on, everybody wanting to know a little bit more and have access to these different programs and opportunities. But I got to ask, both of you seemingly have golf running through you, so maybe just talk respectively on what your introduction to the game was like and how you've developed this passion for golf.
Yeah, so I started golfing when I was younger. My dad introduced me to it probably about, we would get it once a season, so nothing crazy, and he wasn't much of a teacher, so I didn't progress at all.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah, he can golf but can't teach. Which in turn made me frustrated, and I ended up not pursuing the sport in my younger years. I then got a job at a golf course in my college days, worked there for about 5 years, and that really sparked my interest back into the sport, seeing how little females there were showing up to the course. So I didn't actually end up really getting into it until after working at the golf course, just because working 6 days a week, you don't really want to go back to the golf course on your days off. After my kind of career at the golf course there, I got into the sport. And then one day at the driving range, Bianca came up to me, introduced herself, told me to give Dry Bunnies a follow, and the rest is history.
So I want to go a little into maybe that little breakthrough moment in golf where Dad wasn't necessarily a great teacher of the game, but then you worked at the golf club. What was it that happened that was like, okay, I'm going to actually keep pursuing this because I figured out how to hit the ball. Was it take us through that. Was it the first time with the driver and you hit it 150 yards, 200, whatever? I don't know what it is, but yeah, love to go into that.
It actually wasn't necessarily hitting the ball. It was seeing the ladies' league and seeing how little females showed up to the course. And seeing there were a lot of really, really amazing women in the ladies league, and to see the men, watch them show up to the tee and then them hit a bomb, and then just the men just kind of look at each other thinking, okay, these girls can golf. I think that aha moment is kind of huge for me.
Cool. I like hearing that. Mm-hmm. And what about you,
Bianca? What's your, give us a little rundown on your introduction to the game and how you've sort of evolved your passion.
All right. So I used to work at Eagle's Nest, which is a pretty reputable course here. And I worked there about 8 years ago. And I found out really quickly that I could golf there for free.
That's a big perk.
That's a perk. Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get into golf. I'm going to do this. It's expensive to do golf here. And my dad had actually taught me, same situation. Like, my dad had shown me how to golf. He had bought me like a set, but I never really got into it. But I was pretty athletic as a kid, so picked it up pretty quickly. A bunch of my friends were golfing at the time as well. So we did it as like a really fun activity, something different. Like, we'd, you know, work, golf, go to the bar. Like, that was our life for years. And it was, you know, pretty much the best time of my life. Like, it just was great. So did that. And then, you know, I've just been golfing ever since. I started out golfing more for fun, not as often. And then now I'm like super, super into it. We golf as much as we can.
I got a spoiler alert for you. You know, you can combine the bar and the golf course at the same facility, right? So yeah. It just makes it even more enjoyable. Typically, that's how we golf.
There you go. Oh, we do the same. We've evolved since then.
Love that.
That's kind of drive bunnies in a sense, a little bit, bringing the good times and the golf all together.
There you go.
So you guys mentioned that you're in Barrie. What's, you know, you guys, are you doing these events all over Ontario? Is the trajectory to kind of grow it nationally? What is kind of the end goal? Like, are you guys doing stuff locally? And if so, is there a golf course specifically you guys are working with or want to work with? Or walk us through that kind of process.
So we partner a lot with different courses in the Simcoe County area and beyond. We were asked a lot this season to do a lot of content. So on the side of doing, you know, events and networking for, you know, for the Drive Bunnies, we also partner a lot with golf courses in order to promote them and to ensure that more women are aware of these different courses, what they have to offer, what the food is like. Food and bevies are important. Probably more important than golf. What's the aesthetic? What is the, like, where
the, how are you getting these ladies in the door?
Where's like the cutest spot to take pics? Like, that's what people care about. So, you know, we're doing full reviews. We're doing a bunch of stuff for different golf courses. So we don't work specifically with one course, but we do a lot of partnerships with, you know, different brands, different courses in the industry.
I think it's almost like a marketing company.
Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. Right?
We definitely like
promotions involved. Company.
There's so many different avenues that we take. So
possibilities are endless.
I never really factored in the Instagrammableness of a golf course as part of the decision-making factor, but that, yeah, that's interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Do you guys do any work with the Ontario PGA, any of the professionals? Is there lesson programs or anything you're affiliated with? Is there a structure to it? Is it just more like a social event, get some women to the golf course, create that space for people to play?
So we have worked with various coaches in the past. We don't have one that we specifically work with. It would be more based on, you know, who we meet at events, who do we want to come to one specific event. We don't usually work with just one, just to make it a little bit more versatile, and because we do like to travel and have our events in different spaces, it's just a lot easier to connect with a bunch of different people. So we're really fortunate that we've had the opportunity to connect with so many awesome coaches over the last few years.
Very cool. I assume this isn't a full-time career for you two, or are you fully invested in the Drive Bunnies? I assume you're in different spaces.
Yes. I work in signage and advertising full time, and I also have my own organizing company as well.
Okay, cool.
Organizing like houses and clothing.
Yes. So like, I see people with their moves and help them organize their spaces. So it's a little bit
okay.
And then navigate.
That's so you're creating the framework for this, and then Bianca is.
Okay, so what? That's what I do. I work in human resources for a construction company.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You just fire people all day.
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly what my job description says. That's it.
So there's a little bit of guilt that translates now. You're feeling bad for letting people go. So you're bringing more people into the game. I like that. It's a give and take.
There you go. It's like a good. It's a good balancing act. You know.
I love that. So are you both leveraging, you know, your opportunities and relationships in your spaces now to create, you know, bring some of these women in, maybe some of the wives are from the construction side. And then obviously with the moves, it's your opportunity to shamelessly name drop and promote what you guys are doing. So that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. We never stop networking.
I love it.
ABCs, right? Always be closing.
Exactly.
But I think what's cool about what you guys are doing, truthfully, is like, you know, you're pushing women in a different way. And I think that was, you know, our attraction to you guys is that it's not always just go meet the old stuffy golf pro at the driving range and you get five lessons. He's going to change your life. I think you guys are bringing a different angle. And, you know, like one thing, you know, my partner Jen talks about all the time is a lot of beverage carts don't have wine or they have a can of wine, and like putting a, you know, a Sancerre or a Sauvignon, whatever, Chardonnay or whatever on a golf cart. I know. For me, but
sorry, what kind of beer is that you were talking about there, David? I've never heard of that kind of beer.
No, but things like that, that just like, you know, it's not about the alcohol or anything like that, even though we do have alcohol sponsors, which is great. But no, I think what you guys are trying to do is obviously, you know, a lot of people walked in the game and golf is super intimidating. You know, the three of us have been fortunate to kind of grow up around it. And, you know, but I know like, you know, in all of us have had that. It is intimidating. I don't know, you know, there's no real other way to explain it is, you know, golf is intimidating for women to walk in the door because it is very male dominated. The people that work at golf courses is very male dominated. I think what you guys are doing, you have a different approach and a different angle. And for me, I applaud you guys for doing that because, you know, as Tom alluded to earlier, I think it's one of those things like who would have ever thought find the best Instagram spot, you know, on a golf course. But in today's world, it's, you know, it's a thing. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. So, you know, finding your niche and, you know, taking advantage of that. I think, you know, the world's your oyster truly, because there's not a lot of people trying to do what you guys are doing. And that's, in my opinion, what separates you guys. So.
Well, what's the response been like from the women you've had out? Is it something that people are really receptive to? Has it been a bit of a challenge for you guys to procure the audience? Maybe talk us through that portion.
Yeah, no, our turnout to our events have been amazing, and the overall feel around it has been amazing. We have a lot of women reaching out to us, asking about clinics, asking about when our next events are going to be. And because this is a little bit of a side hustle, it's hard for us to, you know, keep planning those events and keep that momentum going as much as possible.
Especially in the winter.
Yes, especially in the winter.
Not motivated.
Especially in Barrie, Ontario in the winter. But yeah, no, we're really excited and for what 2022 has in store for us. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of momentum.
But I will say there are some good indoor facilities in Barrie. There's a few. I don't know them, but I know there's a few.
We know them.
Yeah. You guys know them. They're helping me. But no, at the same time, I think it's, you know, again, I think there's lots of things to happen in the women's game, and it's great. So let's do rapid fire and go. Go. Sorry.
I just want to really thank you. That was a really nice thing that you said in your previous, you know, spiel that you were
monologue.
Very, very thankful towards you. I think that the biggest thing that really shocks me is the amount of men who are our number one like supporters. Like they think what we're doing is really cool beyond what you would think more women would be like, yeah, I love what you guys are doing. But it's crazy to see how many men would reach out to us and be like, I just showed your profile to my wife. I love what you guys are doing. This is awesome. So seeing things like that and hearing, you know, your perspective is really eye opening and really makes us super happy to be doing what we're doing. So I do want to thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Well, again, like my partner, Jen, you know, she got into the game this year and she's been around golf her whole life. Her dad's played and she's had golf clubs and she's had all the opportunity to get in the game, and COVID kind of, you know, made her, you know, think about getting into the game. Now we did identify after a full season of playing golf right-handed that she's left-handed, but you know, life goes on. But you know, I think it's one of those things, it is just an intimidating game to get into. And I have two young daughters, and you know, my daughter Bo has no interest to go to the golf course other than I'm there and she'll just sit and run around, and my other daughter Georgia has 5 minutes and then she wants to go kick the ball or do whatever. But you know, it's funny because like I bring them out and it's always cool when you see like a little kid struggling or like learning the game, everyone kind of chuckles and laugh. And you know, that intimidation factor when you're 30 years old or 35 or, you know, 15, like, you know, and you're struggling and no one's really there, you're kind of on your own, and there's, know, 15 men on the driving range watching this. It's an intimidating game. And I think if you guys can come in numbers and, you know, share that and, you know, evolve together, I think it's super powerful. And I think, you know, movements like this, you know, just not in Barrie, Ontario, I think you could take your platform and find more like-minded women all over, you know, North America and the world that, you know, share your guys' vision. And it's not that you need to go out and have, you know, a business or, you know, make thousands of dollars off this or anything like that. I think just giving that opportunity to have people walk in the door and not feel intimidated or have to go to the golf course with their spouse or, you know, their boyfriend or girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, whatever, I guess both.
Partner.
You know, and just walk in the door and feel like it is an inclusive space because it is intimidating. And, you know, I don't know. I just think more stuff like this across the planet is better for the, just not golf, but the world. So,
yeah. Couple little points on that. Yeah, the intimidation factor of golf is a huge thing. Like, I've known a guy that was a C-level executive in a multi-billion dollar company that didn't play golf, and he's like, I want to. So he would come out, like, after all the tee time, like, this guy was loaded, and he would come out late night, play, like, six holes, walk, because he's like, I just need to do it by myself until I get to the point where, like, I'm there. And then being a dude and supporting women's golf, I think part of it comes down to, for people like us, that it's like, it's nice when you're to have a partner in life that's into it, because some of the golf clubs that I've been around in life, like, you see these couples and these people that, like, they have a, like, a lot of happiness comes out of their life from being around golf. And it's not like it's always together, which it's nice that, like, say me and my girlfriend hop on a plane, fly to Sea Island, it'd be nice to be able to go play golf with them. But then also, in just the general sense, it's like they start to build their friendships with these people. And, like, that's the cool part. Cause then you're like, you go out to the club, the golf club, have dinner, you run into some people, build those friendships that, like, can operate independently, where it's like the girls have their own little group, the guys have their own group, but then we meet up and we go play, like, you know, that it's a beautiful thing. And I think that's why a lot of men are really big behind the push to get women's golf more of, like, out there, because, like, it's nice to date girls who golf.
Ain't that the truth?
Amen.
You guys touched on something else that I thought was really interesting, because I think helping golf courses with menus and things like that, like, you go into 9 out of 10 golf courses, there's beer, there's chicken wings, there's chicken fingers, there's a hamburger, and there's a chicken wrap. And, you know, the salad options, and I'm not saying that, you know, women don't eat those foods I just named, but at the same time, I think having, you know, a bigger menu and more, you know, more of a social aspect, I would love just to get off the golf course and, you know, have a nice dinner, but we find ourselves going somewhere else, you know, in other, you know, times and stuff like that. So anyways, I think, again, the more things that you guys can add value at a golf course, you know, in a unique way, I think there's a lot of things that golf courses do well, but there's a lot of things that they also, you know, fail on too. So
yeah, they need some improvement sometimes.
The women's touch.
Exactly. We actually went to this awesome golf course. It was just north of Barrie, called Braystone, and they had the best patio. We're not sponsored by them, but I just need to say this: best patio, the greens. Oh my god, cannot. And the food, the menu, the aesthetic of the menu, did I say the patio? Oh my god. This place was hella nice. So, yeah.
It's also designed. So there's a golf course that has, you know, a lot of great homes around it. And their focal point is the clubhouse. And how many, I'm going to probably get yelled at from the director of golf at Friday Harbor. That's one of my friends. But Friday Harbor has a beautiful clubhouse at the golf course. And the food is mediocre at best. And, you know, at the other place, like, I don't know, there's something about having good food and making it a lifestyle where people come and congregate, you know. And a lot of golf clubs don't look at that revenue. They look at it like a loss leader. And, you know, I'll say this, like, getting people to the golf course, there's still something sexy about going to a golf course for dinner. But if it's an awful meal, that's one thing. If you can actually have a great meal, yeah, flick your hair. Chris, I like that food. We all know that. But I think if you can create, like, a lifestyle versus, like, a golf lifestyle that includes, you know, hospitality, food, golf, social, kids, You know, those are all things that I think just, you know, will evolve and are evolving. And Braystone's a great example, but that's sort of the hub of that whole resort. You know, and there's a lot of groups that aren't doing that stuff. And yeah.
My turn. I want to say two things here because you guys have been running with this and I haven't interrupted you, but I think the whole premise of creating that environment where everybody comes to the club and stays at the club and spends money at the club and creates that community, I think that's fantastic. But one thing that's been the missing link for the longest time is the women's side, because typically the women will play and then leave or, you know, go do whatever else off course, because the men's grill is where the guys hang out. The guys don't want the girls at the club or whatever that is. And now it's totally, there's been a changing of the guard essentially. So I love what you guys are doing. And I think it's fantastic. I think you definitely should leverage this and try and grow your audience and grow your engagement for sure. Like David said, there's so many clubs that need access to people like you that are creating a program like this. There is other stuff going on in Canada and that's fantastic, but I would say from my perspective, don't be shy to reach out to the PGA of Canada, to a lot of your clubs, your private clubs, your community sort of local public golf courses. There's all kinds of opportunities out there that are just like dying for something like
this. Dry bunny ambassadors all over this planet. Let's do
boom. This. Mm-hmm. There you go. I want to see you in bunny ears, David.
I think one other little,
that's last time. Night, guys. Come on.
One other interesting little tidbit is if you go Thanks. Back and listen to episode 227 with Dan the Man, his partner Karen comes on and she kind of talks about the fact that like she didn't realize you could go to like a golf club and not play golf and like just eat food, right? So I think that is part of that is where like, yeah, let's expose the dining part of this because a lot of people just want to go chill and eat good food. The golf course in Phoenix that I used to be involved with had like one of the craziest views of the entire Phoenix Valley, and the restaurant did more business than the golf course. And it's like,
mm-hmm. It's all about the experience. Like, why wouldn't you take advantage of a whole day and like a part of the night to have a really good meal and to drink with your friends? Like, it's just an extension of a great day.
I agree 100%.
With good greens.
With good greens. And a grass tea.
Yeah.
Grass practice tea. All right, ladies, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. We're going to transition to a little segment to close out the show. We like to call the rapid fire, not so rapid fire 10. So we have 10 skill testing questions we're going to throw at you. First and foremost, we got to ask, do you have a calculator handy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. You're probably not going to need it. So anyway, just want to throw you off. First question.
Questions?
Skill testing questions, yeah. We forgot to tell you there's going to be a test at the end of the show, so.
And we fail. I'm suddenly very ill, and I have to leave.
The Wi-Fi is sketching out. The dial-up's disconnecting. Yeah, can't hear you anymore. Well, we'll take it easy on you, we promise. I'll ask you respectively, so I'll start with you, Bianca. First question, and it's a hard one. First question, it's a hard one. What did you have for breakfast today?
A smoothie.
Smoothie, okay. Anything specific? High performance athlete likes to take peach protein
smoothie.
Okay, protein smoothie. Caitlin, what did you have for breakfast today?
I had a Tim Hortons bagel, plain
Tim Hortons. Spoken like a true Canadian. Love that. Question number two, ladies. If there was a pet peeve you shared on the golf course, what would it be? Is there something you just absolutely can't stand?
I can't stand when people pull up their carts to the green, but they pull it up just before the green. And then if it's super busy and then they're walking to the Ford and then they get in the cart and then they drive off. Just extra time.
I agree.
Bianca, anything that stands out, you just can't stand on the golf course, drives you crazy?
Yes. I really, really cannot stand it when the bev cart doesn't have the fixins to make a proper Caesar. That just drives me nuts. Where's a Tabasco? Where's a Worcestershire? And I need some rim. And I and a cup. Like, come on, not that hard.
Not that hard, but you know what? It takes a little bit of planning to execute consistently. So I like that. I appreciate that. Question number three. Talk us through what kind of clubs you're playing, ladies, and if there's any sort of approach you took when you were buying your clubs or something you could pass on to some of our female listeners. Maybe there's a specific website you found that was really easy to access or a manufacturer you like dealing with. Bianca, go for it.
So I bought my clubs. They're Adams, and I recently got a Cobra driver, which I love. Really, really nice. I would recommend, I haven't done this, but I'm planning to with my next set, is I'm planning to get my clubs fitted. So I think that's a really good option for not only, you know, men, but women, beginners. I think it's a really good opportunity for people to really have a good set of clubs that really work with their swing and can help them, you know, at the beginning of their journey.
Legit. Caitlin?
Amen to that. We'll give an applause because that's exactly what it
is. I got my boyfriend's hand-me-down clubs. They're old TaylorMade. And then I'm getting a head shake. And then I haven't purchased, the only club I've purchased was my driver, and that was this past summer. I got an M2.
Nice.
David, provide a little context as to why you're shaking your head.
A lot of people love the Taylor M2. Guy.
I love TaylorMade.
He was talking about the boyfriend.
Oh. Not the boyfriend. The hand-me-down. It's like, but this is the problem, right? Like, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It's just, these are the stories that you hear. And I think this goes back to what I was saying is like, so I can speak for myself. I would love to have my partner or my spouse, my kids all at the golf course. Cause it's like, it allows me to be at the golf course. And you know, you get a hand-me-down set and it's like, I'm not suggesting like anyone should go out and spend $2,000 on golf or anything like that, but that's how people are introduced to the game, right? It's like, oh, I have my old set of clubs. Why don't you come with me? And I think if, you know, there was a way, they're doing it with junior golf. And I think there's got to be a way to get women into the game by just showing up and they don't have to think about the equipment and, you know, that whole process, like having, you know, TaylorMade essentially have, you know, a set of golf clubs and you have 10 sets of golf clubs and they show up and they use those clubs and they don't have to make the big investment and they learn and they evolve. And that's why I was shaking my head. It's like the perception of, you know, well, why don't you come to the golf club? Here's my old golf clubs. And, you know, and what happens with those old golf clubs? They're probably not proper for you. They're probably too long. They're probably too heavy. And it makes the game even harder than it needs to be.
Yeah. I'm getting them cut down. Like my boyfriend's a golf pro. So he,
even worse, he gets discounts. He needs to go.
Yeah,
he needs to invest in your golf game.
Christmas is coming.
I gotta say something. So right now is a great opportunity to leverage what you're doing and what David said and go to every equipment manufacturer that your boyfriend, the golf pro, will have contacts for and say, hey, look, we need to partner with you. We need 15 sets of rentals that we're going to take around. We'll give them back at the end of the year, but we want to have equipment that's fitted for women and it's accessible so that we can create this excitement. David,
Cobra did it with junior golf, that you could show up to the golf course with your junior and they would give you a set of golf clubs that were fit for it. They should do this for women, and my bunnies from Barry are going to be driving this.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 4 of the rapid fire, not so rapid fire, never is rapid fire. Bianca, I'll start with you. Are you an outfit girl? Do you care what you look like when you go to the golf course? Are you matchy-matchy? Do you get dressed in the dark? What's the strategy?
It's all about the outfit. There's nothing more important than the outfit.
You look good, you play good, you feel good, right?
Always look good, always. It's a runway.
It's not life America. Is a runway. Walk it.
It's a runway. It's not even golf, it's a runway.
Can you answer your question?
Yes.
Can you confirm something for me? Are you Italian by any chance?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't tell. Hey, I just see this hand. I see a hand going everywhere.
Do you know how to make a good red sauce?
Oh, yeah. I actually had spaghetti for dinner.
Ah, there you go. What a champion. Caitlin, were you the fortunate recipient of a nice dinner tonight as well?
I showed up late.
You came in late to the party?
I hit up a burger joint.
Okay, burgers. You can't hate on a burger, right? This goes back to David's comment about women eating chicken fingers, chicken wings, burgers, etc. I got to ask, what's your strategy when you go to the golf course? Are you looking for something to feel good, look good, play good? Do you get dressed in the dark? Are you looking for something neon and baggy? What's the approach?
Oh, look good, feel good, play good. Always.
I like that. I like that. Okay, we're on the same mindset.
It's a philosophy of life.
It is. What's our go-to snack at the turn, ladies? Let's start with you, Caitlin. Are you looking for a protein bar and a water? Are you going for a six-pack and a pack of cigarettes? Maybe a six-inch sub, some pasta. What's the play?
I'm going with a nice cold cerveza and a hot dog or a sausage.
Oh, the pork missile for the win. Love that.
Classic.
Bianca.
What am I choosing? I feel like usually, like before, I would always get sausage on a bun. Always.
Okay.
Now I actually want to have something a little bit lighter because I want to focus more on eating a full-ass meal at the end. More snacking with beer, wine, Caesar. The Caesar is pretty much my meal, you know, meal replacement.
That's legit. I like that. There's always celery, shrimp, maybe
like a
Aaron's
salad in a can.
It is. It's like a cup.
You don't want to be bogged down going into the back nine and barely make it through 18. You want to cruise through 18.
Yeah.
Then we indulge in the fine cuisines of whatever.
And I'm usually withered by that point. I'm like not playing well. No one needs to be around me. Like I should probably be eating something.
We're indulging at this point. We're indulging. Question number 8, ladies. We always like to ask the cliche question. If you could pick 3 people, dead or alive, friends, exes, enemies, relatives, who would you want to spend time on the golf course with? Bianca.
Definitely none of my exes say that right now. Straight up, none. Okay, you go first.
Tiger. That's a no-brainer.
There you go.
I'll say that as well.
Okay.
Brooke Henderson.
I was going to say that.
That's okay. You can pick the same.
Yep. Sneakily, I gotta say, don't take this as an off-color comment, but you almost look a little bit like Brooke Henderson.
Really?
Honestly, yeah.
I think that's
glasses, hair pulled back.
I'll take it
for sure. I was like,
wait, was he talking about me?
Or me? Just kidding.
And then lastly, Rory.
Hulk?
Shirtless Rory, or
love it. Great
shirtless color. Rory.
Shirtless place, right? Rory with a shirt or without, or just a ripped shirt. Obviously, you've seen the social
media.
You can have whatever you'd like.
Maybe it's the front way. Nine with the shirt, back nine with the tarps off.
There we go.
Perfect.
Right. I think my third choice, I would choose a non-golfer. Like, I would choose Larry David.
Love
like,
that.
Just want someone.
Larry David is a golfer.
He is
you
a golfer.
You and Tom are soulmates on
Larry
that,
David
on that choice.
Is like the number one person I want to have on this podcast. Aside from you two ladies here being right here right
thank
now,
you.
Larry David, yeah. Number one.
I just love Larry David. I think he would just be like, hey, the golfers. Yeah, of course. I said, like, of course we have to say that, but like, I want to laugh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to laugh with Larry David.
Yeah, you would the get thing- yourself into.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Larry David is like you will laugh, but then there's gonna be a moment where like he catches something that you're doing in life and he's gonna call you out on it and be like, damn, like damn, you're right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm it'd caught.
I think it'd be comic relief for sure. Question number 9, ladies, and I'll ask you respectively again. Visor, hat, sombrero, or umbrella? What are we wearing?
Visor.
Visor? Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're best friends already. I knew it was going to happen.
Parks Bianca? Lives exclusively with the visor. Just so
only
you know.
Visors, and I just get absolutely beat on for it all
that's
the time.
That's because
you wear those big visors?
You got to get the big one.
No. Oh, yeah.
No.
That's
like the Vader visor with the sun blocker? No. No. I haven't invested.
I only wear tour visors also, so I'm a visor guy.
Parks, he only gets roasted because he wears the Titleist one and has tailor-made clubs. Like. The visor looks real nice. It's just the wrong brand.
It's all right. It's all right. We'll switch it up down the road. Bianca, we got to know. What are you wearing?
I'm going to be wearing a Drive Bunny's hat, but probably like not because I don't want to ruin my hair.
Mm.
But I might wear it like if I have to.
You got a hair product tip for our listeners? Maybe something that works good in all conditions on the golf course?
Yeah, I would.
Gorilla glue?
I would always recommend leave-in conditioner. Always. I think it's really good for the locks. You know.
Oh, my God.
What's your feelings about dry shampoo?
Too funny. That's one of my legit questions.
Oh,
you can't
no.
see it. But I didn't even ask it because it was on from Dan, man, the conditioner question.
That's so funny.
So I would definitely recommend always doing a dry shampoo. That's what I did at the Roots. And then you want to do leave-in from about here. Your ears onward. So ears.
No one can see it. So through the roots, which is the middle,
you can
pull it 8 to 10 inches down, leave-in condition.
It's like the balayage of hair treatment.
Yeah.
I like it. We're getting into all these kinds of like salon quality hair tips on the show. So maybe we have another segment that we
run. Mark Scheifele, Head and Shoulders.
Scheifele.
For NHL flow.
Final question of the evening, ladies. And before we do this, please shout out your socials again. Give our listeners an opportunity to find out where they can engage with you. Maybe your social media platforms, your website, credit card number, whatever you want to share with our listeners would be great.
You can find us on Instagram at Drive Bunnies. And then our website is drivebunnies.com.
Fantastic. Love that. Do you post any kind of a schedule or list of events you're going to be hosting throughout the year? What does that kind of premise look like?
Yeah, you can mainly check out everything we will be posting on our Instagram. So any upcoming events, clinics, anything to look forward to in 2022, you'll find on there. And then we'll find on our website any links to register to any of those events.
Do you have any sort of winter socials planned, like get together for drinks or indoor sims? Like, is there anything upcoming that people look forward to or stay tuned for spring 2022?
So we definitely have, events that we are going to start planning for the new year. Nothing right now because we want people to enjoy their holiday season, and then we'll bombard them at the beginning of January.
Beautiful.
I like that. Spam the inbox on January 1. Those credit card bills.
Exactly.
I like that. Final question of the evening, and this is a really hard one. Ladies, if you were respectively the commissioner of the LPGA Tour or golf in general for a day, what would be the first thing you would change and why? Somebody take the mic. We'll give you a minute to think about that, digest that one.
We would put a little bit of this for you.
Here you go.
I would say just the overall like traffic. Like you don't really see a lot of the LPGA events on TV. Like it's hard to stream them. It's hard to find them. I would say making it more accessible for everyone to watch on TV.
100%.
I like that. Yeah.
It's the worst sport to watch on TV.
It sucks for sure. Because you can never find it, or you get 1 hour segments.
Let's clarify that. It's not that it sucks. It sucks that you can't find it.
Yeah, you can't find it.
Not the women's golf sucks.
It's all of it. Like you got to hop around from platform to platform in order to like actually watch it. It's like, okay, like this one subscription one will give me like the ability to follow a couple players, but then I need to have a Golf Channel subscription plus cable CBS, and then I need to have some sort of black market feed into the LPGA if I want to watch that. And like, if you want to watch European golf, good luck.
Yeah, no chance. Yeah,
every Sunday you can find, you know, men's golf somewhere.
Yeah.
So it's just, that would be my biggest change.
Give us all.
I like that. Appreciate that. Bianca.
I'm just going to piggyback off of that. I really like that idea. I think making it more, not only more accessible, but more entertaining, more relatable, something that's a little bit more engaging for people to want to watch. I think that it's really important to make it, you know, as big as it is to watch like men's golf. I think watching men's golf, like people are amped up to watch it. Not that they're not amped up to watch women play, but, you know, I think there's a lot to say about women, you know, in sports. And I think that they should make it fun.
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's have crazy outfits. Like, I don't know. Maybe they need to get their hair done. I don't know. Something needs to change.
I'll say this. Like, my daughter Bo got into tennis with another Bianca from Canada who won the U.S. Open in tennis. By turning on the TV, she doesn't watch TV, and it just happened to be on, and she sat there and, you know, watched this little girl, well, this teenager win the U.S. Open, and, you know, it inspired a six-year-old to go play tennis. And I think that doesn't happen so much with the LPGA Tour, and there's no reason why it can't live on an app or, you know, their sponsorship team's doing a great job globally. There's no reason why they can't have live coverage, even if that's on an LPGA Tour app. I think cable TV is going to be gone in 2024, and, you know, platforms like Hulu, like in the U.S., are going to take over, but there's no reason why LPGA Tour golf can't, you know, be on there, and, you know, production for $300,000 to $500,000. It doesn't need to be, you know, the big CBS broadcast. I think just having access to events in real time, I think, is super powerful. And, you know, we had Ryan Paul, I believe, from the LPGA Tour. And, you know, CB, they, that event was on live television and Brooks was about to win in Canada and they cut the feed. And luckily, I think it was TSN that stepped up. So I think there is strides being made. And at the same time, you know, just having a simple axe or somewhere to go, even with the PGA Tour, having somewhere to go, you know, with off coverage or not live television coverage is, could be powerful. And, but I think the LPGA Tour needs its, you know, audience and all that. So
I think Disney just needs to buy the rights, right? Like when they're searching for some Hannah Montana or Cinderella, like let's give them some LPGA. Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. Absolutely. Ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. Thanks for sharing your story. All the best in 2022. We look forward to reconnecting at some point, hearing about your adventures, your shenanigans this summer. Hopefully your audience grows. You can leverage your golf pro boyfriend to connect you with some equipment manufacturers and, yeah, open some doors. But more than anything, it's important to continue to do what you do and grow the game and bring more women to this inclusive platform. So thank you.
Well, thanks, guys. So nice to meet you.
Yes, absolutely. We'll definitely connect live when we're in the center of the universe in Toronto at some point here down the road.
Awesome. Center of the universe has shifted. Ladies, it's been a pleasure.
Bye, girls.